Let's look in chapter 6, book of Isaiah. And I tell you, the more I chewed on this, the bigger it got. It seems like that's the way it is me every time. I mean, Brother Gale, I'll be studying and I'll look at the clock and it'd be about time, you know, to leave to come to church, and it seemed like I'm just kind of getting started. But I know, you know, the Lord understands all that. And I guess, as Brother Gale, when he was talking this morning, he uses that a lot of time just to show us that it ain't us, it's him. We got to depend on him. And if he does it, it'll be right. If I do it, it'll probably be wrong. So anyway, here in, and that kind of goes along with the lesson a little bit. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved, and at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, dwell in the house of the midst of the people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, and the Lord of hosts." I think I'll read two or three more verses. "And then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from the altar. He laid it upon my tongue and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." I want to talk just a little bit this morning, maybe a short lesson. It may get in over my head, but y'all pray for me. I always think about it, and I kind of found out in trying to study and prepare to teach that if nobody else don't never get nothing out of it, I do. And so it helped me. King Uzziah was a great king. He was a godly king. And upon his death, here we find that not only Isaiah, I think he was a spokesperson or speaking how the country kind of felt. It was a time of despair, time of depression, a time the people were probably saying prosperity will cease, we'll be taken captive, there'll be a famine in the land, things of that nature. It was a time of despair, I think we could say. And Uzziah was a great king. And so we see here in this chapter 6 of Isaiah that Isaiah was kind of discouraged, I guess you could say, couldn't you? Probably. And he was looking at this king as a lot as the country did, I guess, a great man, a great king, had done a lot for the country, and been peace and prosperity, and this man had died. And Isaiah was in despair. But I noticed and thought about this. In his time of despair, Isaiah went to the right place. He went to the temple. And I'm glad that as God's people, I'm just kind of thinking, you know, as we ought to, I guess, and as most people do, and as we all do, probably preachers, teachers, whatever. If we have a lesson, we ought to be able to relate it to ourselves or the time we live in or whatever. And this time was a time of despair, and I don't know, maybe you would disagree, but I think, spiritually speaking anyway, that we're living in a time of despair in our country. It's a time when I get discouraged sometimes. I get actually depressed about it sometimes. My wife, she says I watch too much news. That's probably right. And I probably need to watch less of it. And I am kind of addicted to it, I guess, I'll confess. But I like to know what's going on. And I like to keep up with what's going on and see what people are saying and things. And if you do that, yeah, I don't think we ought to be a people just stick our head in the sand and not know where we're at, where we're going, or what's going on, what's happening. I think we ought to have an alertness in our heart and our mind as to where we're at, spiritually speaking, as God's people. I think we have a duty to do that, really. And so I think when you look at where we're at, I know everybody, physically speaking, is in pretty good shape. We all got probably more than what we need. I told Brother Ralph, he really missed it yesterday. Preacher, we went to eat. We ate the best supper you ever seen. Didn't cost us a dime. He missed it, didn't he? We are living in, as physically speaking, we've all got plenty to eat, most of us anyway. We've got two or three cars and a good place to sleep. And, physically we're good. But I think, spiritually speaking, we are in trouble as a nation and as a people. And so Isaiah, I think he realized that. I think he realized it more once he went to the place that he went to, the temple. And when he went in the temple, he saw some things and he realized some things. And I think, you got to get in God's presence to really see where we are at. And that's what Isaiah done. I'm glad we have the throne of grace we can go to. Ain't you? And that's where we need to go. We need to spend more time there, I believe, as God's people. So Isaiah went to the temple. He went to the throne of grace. And notice what he saw. He saw the Lord. Well, I just found it to be true. When you go to the throne of grace with the right heart and the right intent and the right frame of mind, most of the time, I believe, I guess you could say all the time, you'll see the Lord. We need to see the Lord. And Isaiah went to the temple and he saw the Lord. In verse 1, he said, I saw also the Lord. Not only did he see the Lord, he saw the Lord in holiness. And I think that's one thing as God's people and as the church today we need more of. We need to see the holiness of God. And Isaiah saw the holiness. I don't think it's any accident that he said there in verse 3, holy, holy, holy. Could it be that would be Father, Son, Holy Ghost three times? Holy, holy, holy? Probably so. But anyway, he saw the holiness of God. Not only did he see that, but he saw something else. He saw behind the earthly throne, there was a heavenly throne. Now, here's this empty throne of King Uzziah, and this nation in deep depression, a sorrowful state, a time of not so much optimism. And he sees this. I think he went there, and I thought about, how God in our lives works in our lives as his people. And sometimes he lets us go through some things to get us where we need to be. And it don't have to be that way, but I know it is like that. I found it to be true in my life. Sometimes, Brother Gale, he'll let us go through some things that we wouldn't have had to went through. But he does that as God's people. I think that's the case with Isaiah here. He used the death of this king to get Isaiah to the place he needed him to use him. And so he goes and he sees the empty throne first, but then he sees an earthly throne, then he sees a heavenly throne. And I think if we go to the throne of grace, and I found that to be true, we need to, the Bible teaches us we need to go in the closet and shut the door behind us, and that's a good place to start, ain't it? And usually if you do that, you go in the closet, get everything else out of your mind, put everything else aside, and I found out God don't take second fiddle to nobody. Amen? But when we get in the right frame of mind And I think it, you know, it's probably not necessary that we have to go to the closet and shut the door. But there's a part of that that does something for us. We get all along with God. Nobody there but us. And when I found out when I get along with God, you get a whole lot more honest. I ain't got nothing against public prayer. I think it's necessary. It goes along with being a Christian and the ways of being a, you know, it's good. But I think when we get along with God is where we really get a hold of God. And Isaiah saw here, he saw a heavenly throne. And he had to get along with God. He had to go to the temple to do that. And we can go to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. I'm glad that as God's people, we have that invitation. We can go boldly, and that means that we don't go in there like a bull in a china shop. That boldly don't mean that. We go with humility. That means that we can go with confidence, knowing that God hears his people when we come to him. And God's not short, never has been, never will be short on his end. If there's any shortness, it'll be on our end. And we can go and have confidence that we go get along with God, Brother Rose, get in a good place somewhere. Have you ever been there? You know what I'm talking about then. And there's been times when I prayed, and there's been times when I prayed. That's like kind of like I said one time, preacher, that I heard and then I heard. There's been times when I prayed, and there's been times when I prayed. And when we get along with God and really get a hold of God, things begin to move. Business begin to pick up. And, you know, we go to seeing, as Isaiah did here, how holy he really is. And God is holy. He saw the throne. He saw the Lord. He saw God's holiness. And he said, holy, holy, holy. Now, these cherubims, I'm getting in an area where, I'm honest with you, I don't know very much about it all. All I know is what I read. And I read after some good men, I believe what they said right. But these cherubims, that chirp means to burn. The word is used in connection with the sin offering. Now, what happened to Isaiah when these cherubims took a coal with the tongues and laid it on his lips? These cherubims is used in connection with the sin offering, and most men that I read after believes that they search out sin. Now look in verses 6 and 7. I'll read this to you. Maybe it'll help me a little bit. Then flew one of the serpents into me, having a live coal in his hand. Where'd the coal come from? Anybody know? Come off the altar, didn't it? Well, we know our altar was Calvary. He said, and he took it, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy what? Iniquity. Well, that's another word, I guess, for sin, you could say, couldn't you? Thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. So he took this cherubim, took this coal off of the altar, laid it on his lips. And if you look down in verse 5, and I don't know what the order of this was, but he says, then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When we get in the presence of God and start seeing the holiness of God, then our holiness starts to diminish. That's the way it works. A feller used to be, thought he was a pretty good feller, starts seeing him himself as not so good a feller. And again, when that starts to happen, Brother Gill, business starts to pick up. When we take our place and see him, put him in his place and see him as he really is, we're starting to get somewhere. That's what happened to Isaiah. Woe is me. You know, Job thought he was a pretty good man. He even said he was. But there come a place there when he confessed that he wasn't as good as he thought he was. Been a lot of other people. Paul says, you know, he said there, I believe it was in chapter 7, wasn't it, of the book of Romans, I guess it was. He cried out to God. Then I had some other people on my mind now that don't come right to, but there have been a lot of people in the scriptures that when they got in the presence of God and in the presence of the Lord, they found out who they really was. And then they started confessing that they wasn't anything and he's everything. And that's pretty plain put, but I've been there before. And, you know, sometimes I kind of get in my flesh, Brother Lowell, and pat myself on the back and think I'm really doing pretty good. I'll never forget one time, I just shared this with you, I have before, I'll do it again. Somebody helped me, that Brother Murray, Kim Murray's dad, Old Man Murray, what I call him, Old Man Murray. Me and Brother Jack visited him. Lost, Old Man Murray was lost. And I had a burden for the old man. And I'd go over and listen to him tell them old steel rigging tales, sit out in the sun, and, you know, just for opportunity for him to run out of anything to say so I could witness to him. You couldn't get a word in edgewise. You heard that before. That's the way he was. You couldn't, once he got started, you just had to wait on him to get done. And Brother Lowell, I waited on him a lot of times. And I really, to be honest with you, a lot of times I thought, well, you know, what am I doing this for? Ain't no use. He ain't going to get saved. That's what the devil always tell you. He ain't going to get saved. He don't care nothing about what you're talking about. He just wants somebody to come and visit him. Have you ever had that impression about somebody? Well, Old Man Murray, I kind of felt like that about him. But I kept going back. And I called Preacher one Saturday. I said, Preacher, you want to go see Old Man Murray? He said, John, that old man ain't going to get saved. That's what Preacher told me. He said, that old man ain't going to get saved. I said, I know what you're probably right, but let's go see him. He said, we'll go. Well, the Saturday we wasn't going to go was the Saturday we needed to go. And anyway, I'm telling you all this to tell you something. Went to see Old Man Murray that Saturday. And he liked to watch that old wrestling on the TV, and he'd turn that thing up, and you couldn't hear nothing. Couldn't even hardly talk over it. And he'd turn it on when you was there. And he had that television going. Me and Preacher Jack was there. And I just got some holy boldness about me. And I reached over and turned it off. And I said, now, Mr. Murray, I said, we've been coming up here a long time to visit with you. And I said, trying to tell you about the Lord. Going to try to help you. Want to see you go to heaven. Don't want you to go to hell. And he was always polite. He shaked his head. I said, don't you think it's about time you got right with God? He said, yeah, I do. See, that's the way the Lord worked it. I didn't do it. But I'm telling you all this to tell you this. I went home, Brother Lowell, and I was mowing my yard, and I'll never forget. The devil started patting me on the back, telling me how good I was. Thank God for the blessed Holy Ghost. While he is a patting me on the back and telling me how good it was, along come the old Holy Ghost. He started telling me how sorry he was. And how I hadn't done nothing and God had done it all. Boy, I had me a time. You see, it's not us, it's him. And when we get in the right place, God can take even me and use me for his glory. And old man Murray got saved and listened. You talk about a witness for the Lord. He filled up two or three of them pews back there, Brother Rick. He went to witnessing to his granddaughter, to his son-in-laws, to his son. Earl, his name was Earl, by the way. I called him old man, he's Earl. But his boy got saved. And, buddy, I tell you, that old man, he had about all his family back there. You see how the Lord works? I didn't have nothing to do with it. He done it. Anything it's always done, he'll do it. But I think about that a lot of times, and it kind of helps me, puts me in my place. We need to be put in our place sometimes. Well, Isaiah got put in his place here. He got in the presence of God, and he saw that there was another throne, and then he saw the holiness. Holy, holy, holy. And then these serpents that I don't know much about that I confess to you, that search out sin, they was placed these coals off of this altar on Isaiah's mouth, on his lips. And after that, Isaiah had a zeal about him that he'd never had before. God said, who am I going to send? And Isaiah said, then I, here am I. Send me. You know, if we would get in God's presence like Isaiah did, instead of preacher coming and begging us to do something, we'd be like Isaiah, we'd be lined up. I really believe that. We'd be a hunt for something to do. And that brings us to the point that what kind of shape are we in as God's people? This was a bad time for Isaiah. Time of depression, time of concern. And it bothers me that we're not bothered no more than we are. It bothers me that I'm not bothered no more than I am. Has to do with sin. I was telling Brother Lowell there as he come up the aisle, old Brother Lowell, and I know what he did. When I first announced my call to preach, old Brother Lowell met me out in the parking lot. Just a week or two after that, Brother Rick and he had a box, about like a heavy box. He said, take these. They'll help you. You know what it was? It was a box of J. Vernon McGee books. Thank you, Brother Lord. I've used them a lot. Amen. Reading them this morning. This I read of old Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I said, and I feel it, when you're reading these fellers and you get to where they can't understand, just put their books up and go get old Jay Vernon. He'll put it down there where you can get it. And he said this, says, God does not intend to accept the white flag of surrender for sin from the devil. He don't have no intentions of accepting the white flag of surrender for sin. Think about that. He don't want no surrender of sin. He don't want no white flag of surrender. He's going to destroy sin. You know, over in Revelation, I believe him. I'm not sure. I think just off the top of my head, maybe Revelation 19. He said the devil himself was cast into the lake of fire. He's not going to let the devil surrender. He's going to destroy it. But until that time, we have to contend with it as God's people. And so, he's not going to accept the white flag of surrender. He intends to destroy it. I thought about this, and Brother J. Vernon said this, we don't have to apologize for God. We don't. And that kind of struck a note with me because I see some of these politicians, begin back to watching that, Brother Rick, and I know you do too. So, I guess it's all right for me too. But you see those politicians and they'll come on there and they'll say something that really sounds good. You ever see them do that? I say, amen. That's what I want. That sounds good. But you know what? The very next day you'll see him on there apologizing. He said it. Yeah. Amen. I think you rascal, you. You ever feel like it? It's the truth, ain't it? Yeah, you'll say something good and then apologize. Well, listen, we don't have to apologize for God. Never, never, never do we apologize to God. But I do believe this. I believe as God's people, as the church, we're living too loose. There's a cure for that. Get in the presence of God. Get around the altar where the live coals is at. That'll cure it. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is a way of death. We know where death comes from. It comes from sin. That's the reason, you know, in the beginning, I think, Isaiah kind of was like we are, looking to this king to solve the problems. We look to this world and we kind of have a tendency, I do, of wanting to see the world get better. Things get better. And we look at whether it's maybe Obama, Trump, whoever, they're going to make things better. And Lord help them, I hope they do turn us back to the Lord. But this world ain't going to get no better. It's going in the direction it's supposed to be going in. And it's not going to turn around. And James said this, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin's our enemy. Sin will destroy. Sin will tear down. It'll cause a good man to become an unfaithful man. It'll cause a faithful wife to become an unfaithful wife. It'll cause a child to get hooked on drugs. It'll cause a son to be put in prison. You better not get in the bed with sin. There's a past price to be paid. And sometimes it's more than you want to pay. It could be your daughter. It could be your son. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. You think, and I know where you're coming from, and I would say, not mine, or not theirs. It's always somebody else's, but it can be ours. Been a many a good person said that. Not me. Not mine. I know some people said that. Sin is still just as black. It ain't got no better. I know we live in a society when we painted it gray. And we think, if we're honest, even as God's people, even as a church, we've drifted. And we've come to an acceptance of sin that 20 years ago that we would never have accepted. I think we ought to, as God's people, we ought to look right. Brother Rick, that's the way I am, I can't help it. Kathy will tell you. I guess a lot of times I'm a pessimistic, I think that's the right word, person. I try to be optimistic, but somehow or another that comes in and kind of overtakes it. And I'll be honest with you, I went yesterday with a sense of pessimism. But I was thankful. I don't know who done it. Don't matter who done it. But when they read this out, they had a dress code. Amen. They said, we want women to come wearing dresses. Amen. Amen. We want the dresses to be at least to their knees. Amen. We don't want no low cut tops. Amen. We want the men to dress right. We don't want you coming in here in blue jeans. Amen. Am I the only ones agreeing with that? I say we ought to look right. We ought to look right. We ought to talk right. There is a way that seemeth right. And if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in this thing. It's not too bad. Well, it is bad. In order to see that, you'll have to get to this place Isaiah got. You have to get in the presence of God. You have to see how holy He is. He is thrice holy. Not once, not twice, but He is thrice holy. God is a holy God. And He said, since I'm holy, be you holy. I know where to look right, where to talk right. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll get caught up in this telling these off-the-wall jokes. And it's not right. You'll say, that's a pastor's place. That's my place. Ain't no him having to bear the whole load. Everybody get mad at him. There'd be some people get mad at me. I said we ought to look right. We ought to talk right. We ought to walk right. Amen. Living too loose is God's people. You know why? Because we're not getting in this place where Isaiah was at. That's the root cause of it. I believe with all my heart as I studied this and prayed, I said, Lord, I need to get in that place. And I can say to you this morning, we need to get in that place. Do you care? Do we care? I'll say this to us. I've got grandkids. 3 grandsons and a granddaughter. I've got children. I've got people that look to me to do what's right. Not just them. People outside the church that knows that I come to Bible Way Church. And I have a responsibility to those people to do what's right. I don't want them to look at John Doctor and say, look at him. He's just like all the rest of them. Amen. I say we ought to talk right. We ought to watch what you say. I know we get in places sometimes we think, you know, if we're loosen up here a little bit. Oh, no, we don't need to loosen up. We need to tighten up. We need to watch what we say. And we need to watch our walk. Where we go. Amen. God help us. A little bit of this might help the preacher this morning. It won't hurt us, I'll tell you that. Isaiah got in the right place. Took a diss of this king to get him there. What would it take to get you there? Would it be one of your children going astray? Would it be your wife leaving you? Your husband? Your dad? Your papa? Don't have to be that way, does it? Lord, help us. I tell you, we can do better than what we're doing. I'll say it again. Thank God for that blessed old Holy Ghost that when the devil's beating us on the back, he comes along. And that's what he done to Isaiah. He got him in the right place. He saw the right things. Started thinking right. Then he said, "Here am I, send me." Well, I asked some of the men to pray for me this morning. I thought it might be in over my head, and maybe I was. I don't know. But anyway, you got it.